Access all areas on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, guys, and welcome to Access All Areas. I'm Bobby Norris, and tonight I'm joined by the lovely Summer.
Hi,
how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
So good, thank you. So good. Thank you for joining me this evening.
Oh, my pleasure. It's lovely to be back.
How have you been?
Oh, my God, I've been a busy, busy bee. I have not stopped. I've been working, I don't know, 7 days a week now for the past four or so months. I'm shattered, to say the least. But I'm building my empire, Bobby. I'm headed toward my goal, and that's what I'm doing. But I'm working a lot. So, yeah.
I love it.
I
love it. You've got a lovely blow dryer going on. Bring it on,
yeah.
The glow. And how's the business going?
So good. So I now offer lashes, so like lash extensions, and that's really busy. So I do lashes and lips and like filler packages with lash packages, and it's just really good. It's really good. That's what's making me work 6 days a week until like 10, 11 o'clock at night. I'm like,
that's exciting stuff though. And when it's something you're really passionate about and you love it, you don't mind throwing your all into it, do you?
Yeah, and when it's your own, it's even more, like, just worth it, because it's your own empire as opposed to, like, building someone else's. So, yeah, it's great.
And I guess it's only going to get busier, especially as Christmas approaches. Everyone's going to be wanting their Christmas lashes done.
Yeah, Christmas fillers, Christmas lashes. All my girls want nice, big, fluffy lashes, and, it's just so good. And you meet great people as well, so I've made loads of friends and going out for drinks. So I'll do lashes until, like, 9 o'clock, then I'll go out for dinner and go for drinks with the girls. It's really good.
Lovely. Do you have a favourite treatment to perform, babe?
Do you know what? I really love doing lips, because I find them so personal. Because it's like one of the things you look at straight away at someone's face is like their mouth, and lips and teeth for me. And so, I love to make them like make a girl feel even more sexy than they already are, for sure.
Love that. All about woman empowerment. We're here for it.
Here, I'm all for it.
I'm so excited about tonight's show. We've got two amazing guests joining us. We have got Gemma Luke from Married at First Sight, who is this series. Really excited to find out what's gone down. I've seen a few bits in the press post-show, so should be a really amazing interview. And then we are joined by the lovely Joella Noble from Are You The One?
So exciting. I can't wait. And then the other showbiz gossip. Oh, it's going to be a good one tonight, Bobby.
What has caught your eye showbiz-wise this week, my love?
I'm a celeb.
Yes, so we're starting to see people touch down in Brisbane.
I'm very excited. I've seen a few people. Olivia Atwood, for one. I cannot wait to see her. She's brilliant. And who have you got your eye on? There are a couple, because there's like a few people that have been seen, but not everyone's been seen yet. So I don't know 100% who is actually going in yet.
I think ITV never confirmed in advance, but obviously once you're packed arriving at Brisbane, it's kind of obvious what you're doing at this time of year. So I think the only photos I've seen circulating in the press at the moment is Olivia Atwood, Chris Moyles, and the lady from Coronation Street who plays Eileen. I believe she is called Sue. Little bit of a Corrie legend. Is this Sue Cleaver?
I don't know the surname, but
So I think they're the three we've seen touchdown so far. But I know that people arrive like day here, day there, so they kind of stagger. Because obviously they want only one celeb on each flight. So you don't see obviously who you're going in the jungle with. It's a bit of a giveaway if you're on a plane for 24 hours and you see someone from Coronation Street sitting opposite you. You're going to be like, oh, you're just having a couple of weeks in Oz, are you? So really exciting.
Yeah,
I'm so excited to see it back in the jungle. I always call it the jungle. I know it's called I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, but it's a bit of a mouthful, especially with the news. So I just call it the jungle. And I think ITV did a great job putting it on during the pandemic and bringing it to Wales for 2 years. But I think it's going to be exciting to see everyone back in Australia.
Yes, I cannot wait. The original, it's like just how it has to be done.
It's kind of it's a lead up. This is kind of it's moments like that in Strictly. They're kind of the two shows that make me know that Christmas is approaching.
Yes. Yeah, it's like
because the weather's so mild at the minute, I think it's kind of, even though every other shop's got Christmas trees in it at the minute, and it ain't even Halloween yet.
I know.
Like, literally, I was in a shop the other day. One aisle was all like fancy dress stuff, and then one was just like baubles, Christmas trees, advent calendars. I think Christmas. I saw advent calendars, yeah, back in like September. And mm-hmm. I thought, who's got the willpower to have an advent calendar with 24 chocolates in their house from September, and they're not going to have at least one before December? Because I'm one of them. I'd sit there watching Netflix and be like, oh, I've got that calendar in the cupboard.
Yeah.
And I'd pop open all 24 windows and smash the lot.
Like one night, all two, three won't hurt. Going up to 10 won't hurt because they're only like this big, aren't they? So it's not a problem.
I remember doing that once. I think I was only young, to be fair. I weren't an adult. I think I was about 5. And my mum and dad got me an advent calendar, and it was in my room. And yeah, the next morning I'd obviously laid in bed and done all 24 windows. My mum was like, oh, Bobby, no, that's not what you do. It's like one a day, babe. But I must have been sat there probably watching The Little Mermaid and smashed the lot. Nothing's changed.
No, well, yeah, no, me too as well. Same.
Hey, what else has caught your eye, babe? It's been a busy week in showbiz land.
Do you know, it really has. Let's talk about Kanye.
Oh, yes. So, dropped by Adidas, allegedly.
Yeah, but do you know what?
I don't even think we have to say allegedly anymore. It's confirmed that he's been dropped by Adidas, isn't he?
Yeah, it has. And do you know, I've always been a fan of Kanye's until recent years, maybe. I'm sick of it. This is controversial, Bobby. But I'm sick of it with people, you know, some, albeit in the public eye, that act and behave in a certain way and never getting the consequences for their actions because they behave like they're invincible. They can say and do something publicly, privately, and never, ever, ever get any consequences for their actions. And hopefully, you know, I don't wish them to lose business, but rein it in.
Was you surprised to read that Adidas has kind of pulled the partnership with Yeezy now?
I don't think I was, I don't think I was shocked to see it. I think, you know, if someone behaves in a certain way for so long, you know, the wheels are going to fall off eventually. It just is a matter of time. But to say and do what he did was just absolutely outrageous, for sure. So
I think I read earlier on, I think it was from Forbes, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think they've put out an article saying that he's now lost his billionaire status due to, I think, predominantly the Adidas collaboration no longer existing. I think they want to quote, might be wrong here, but I think his worth's gone down to 400 million. Now, let's have it right, it's still a hell of a lot of money, 400 million. I mean, I wouldn't mind it.
Yeah.
I think there was rumoured that it was worth like 1.3 billion. So in terms of money, even though it's crazy money and crazy figures to even get your head around, that's a huge thing.
That is a huge difference. But, you know, he's still got 400 million.
Yeah, he's going to be all right.
I think he's buy himself a Euros and be happy.
And I saw that Khloe Kardashian has posted something about it. Have you seen that on social media?
Stop, no, I haven't. What? I've missed that.
I think Khloe's come out, and I think Kim have both put something out there. I think Kim's was saying something that she stands by her Jewish friends and her Jewish fans and followers, words to that effect.
Yeah.
And I think Khloe, very similar kind of stuff. So the Kardashians have spoken now about it. I guess it's one of the things that all automatically, especially when someone's been married, like with Kim and Kanye, they're so associated with each other. I think when something like this happens, all eyes go on the ex-partner, don't they? Like, well, what are you going to say? Especially the Kardashian clan.
Yeah, because they're quite a powerful family. So
very.
You're all going to go and look at them, aren't you? Like, oh, are one of them going to say anything? And sure enough, they did.
So I think Khloe has said, I support my Jewish friends and the Jewish people. She's put that on Instagram.
Interesting. That's good.
So I'm sure Kris Jenner has had a busy couple of days. and that family group chat, I bet he's popping off.
I bet it's pinging until early hours of the morning, Bobby. I'd love to be a little fly on the wall in their group chat.
I'd love to be in that group chat. Imagine.
Yeah.
Talking of Christmas approaching, moving on to the next showbiz story that caught my eye, it's rumoured that Katie Price is bringing out a Christmas single.
Yeah, I saw that earlier, actually. I'll be interested to see what kind of single she'd be bringing out. Will you be tuning in and listening?
The thing is, I think when it comes to Christmas, if you're going to bring a single out, Christmas is kind of, it's the time of year to do it. Do you know what I mean? It's one of them. And I believe it's a collaboration with a former X Factor star.
Yeah.
So I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued to see how it will be. Obviously, we know Katie's brought out some music in the past. But yeah, Christmas, is she going to be the new Mariah Carey?
I would love to see it.
And to be fair, Basil Brush is also releasing a Christmas single. So if Basil Brush can do it, I mean, Katie Price is thinking, why not?
Yeah, Bobby, I think we should do one.
Singing ain't my forte. It's
no,
not
but
my...
Rapping is mine. Give it a good go.
We could give it a good go. Anything else? Oh, my gosh, bless. I mean, things are bad enough for the nation at the minute without listening to me at Christmas. I think they'd just rather listen to Mariah.
Oh, I love Mariah's
That's
Christmas.
That's the song that gets me in the mood for Christmas. I mean, it is, I think, my favourite Christmas song. And the minute it plays, even just the beginning of it, when you hear it on the radio, I'm like, it's what a tune. It's Christmas. Very clever woman. I bet she's very glad the day she wrote that song, because I think that's made her a couple of quid.
I bet it has.
just 1 or 2 quid.
I think she's bought herself a few nice handbags with that song.
Yeah, I love it. Oh, gosh. I think we'll soon find out when the singles come out. Wonder what Basil's is going to be about. Wonder what Kate's is going to be about.
Yeah. Have you seen the Vicky Beckham story with the Spice Girls?
Yeah. I mean, I can't say I'm surprised, though. So she has said that she won't be joining the girls, the rest of the Spice Girls, for a reunion at Glastonbury, which I'm not surprised about, bearing in mind she didn't do the last tour. Putting it out there, I was the biggest Spice Boy ever. That is my generation. That is like my thing. Like, I loved them.
I love them.
And it's just such a moment in time. Iconic. I think literally one of the best girl bands, if not the best girl band ever. What they achieved in such a relatively small time, really, because it's easy to think they was around all together a lot longer. But from the beginning to Jerry leaving, which I kind of think was the beginning of the end for them, might be a bit controversial to say, but I mean, that was my first heartbreak I've ever had when Jerry left the band. Such a sad day. I remember it well. But yeah, they achieved so much. I would have loved to have seen old Vicky B back up there with the other four, giving it some at Glastonbury. I've never been Glastonbury, so I probably wouldn't have been there to see it. I would have definitely have tuned in, though, to watch it on the telly. But I think she said she'd potentially be up for, you know, there's this whole ABBA one at the moment, but it's all like holograms.
Yeah.
I think she said she'd be prepared to do that.
Something.
But because I guess it could be pre-recorded, but I think in defence to Vix, she is saying she's at a different stage in her life, which she, to be fair, and she wants to concentrate on her business. Also, she's got the huge fashion line, she's got her makeup line, 4 kids, a lovely husband. I think she's a busy girl, and again, she's doing all right, isn't she?
Yeah, I think so. She's occupied. She doesn't have the time.
10-11 year old Bobby would love to have seen old Vicky up there again, giving it some. But maybe it's not meant to be.
True. Did you ever see them in concert when you were younger?
I saw them, yes, the first reunion they did, which what year would have that been? So it was when they kind of all come back together. Was it about 2009, 2010 maybe? I went to see them at the O2 and kind of just live my best life.
Love that.
You know, it's one of them evenings when you're listening to Spice Girls, especially if you was a Spice Girls fan, where even though you don't hear that song, I mean, it's it's not played every day on the radio, is it, all their albums and their songs. But you might not have heard a certain song for months or even years, but the minute it's on, you know every lyric, you're singing along. Mm-hmm. And that's what I love about music, how it can take you back to a moment in time where things were just a little bit more simple. All you had to worry about what you was going to spend your money on in the tuck shop. Do you ever, babes, was you a fan of Friends, the sitcom?
I'm actually watching it at the moment for the thousandth time.
Are you?
I love Friends because every time I watch it, I always see something different that I missed before or humour that I didn't get before. I grew up watching Friends with like my grandparents that loved it. So yeah, it's always on. If there's nothing to watch and I'm bored, especially when we were in lockdown the first time and we had nothing to do and could go nowhere, I was like, 20 seasons, like, well, 10 seasons and 20 episodes each bloody like season, I'm on it. So I smashed it, loved it, big
it's
fan.
It's like that moment in time, kind of like the Spice Girls thing, isn't it? And it probably coincided together a chunk of that. And I remember it, and I think there will still be channels it's on now, but it used to just constantly, whatever time of day, I want to say it was E4 it was always on, but there was a channel you could pretty much always put the telly on and see an episode of Friends.
Yeah.
But one of them shows that even if you've seen an episode 8 times, 12 times, you can sit and watch it again. But you're so right, watching it with more of an adult brain, because we were probably a bit younger when it first came out, just things you might have missed or just went over our heads when we was innocent and knee-high to a grasshopper. But I was, obviously, I loved it like you, and was really intrigued that Matthew Perry's revealed that he crushed badly on Jennifer Aniston. Now, I mean, I'm not surprised about that, because I think even for about 3 days, I had a crush on Jennifer Aniston. Very quickly moved on to Brad Pitt, though. I ain't going to lie. Shocker. But yeah, I mean, the hair, the Rachel hair.
Yeah.
Just iconic. But old Jen turned him down. He asked her out and she turned him down.
Can you imagine how awkward filming must have been?
Oh God, yeah, can you imagine turning up?
Yeah, I know. It's how awkward when I see someone that's asked me for a date and then I'm like, oh my God, don't make eye contact. Don't make eye contact. Okay, and you're like, hey, fucking, oh my, run. So let alone filming with someone.
And especially in a cast of like 6.
Yeah.
It's not like it's like a huge show where there's a lot more cast. You're going to be doing film scenes together all the time, all day, every day, and living in each other's pockets. So I guess they overcome that pretty quick, though, because well, I mean, maybe that's just a huge testament to how amazing they both are at acting, but never picked up on it ever being awkward. So,
no.
But I love when you kind of hear them little nuggets of things from yesteryear.
Yeah.
When it's a show you used to love.
Yeah.
I think Friends at the reunion, when I'd seen clips and stuff, I think that Ross came, I love that I'm calling him, I'm literally in friend zone, I'm calling him Ross. David had come out and said that even him and Jen had a moment, I think early on in recording of the series, that there was kind of like a mutual attraction between them both.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think they ever acted on it.
Do you not think?
Well, I don't think they... He didn't confirm they'd acted on it, I don't think. But whether they did or didn't, but that almost makes it, again, does it become really awkward if something's happened and then you've got to go to work the next day and it ain't quite worked out?
Game, isn't it?
I mean, these are the things we'll never, ever know.
No.
The rest of history. Brad Pitt come along. Well, I mean, we love a little bit of Brad.
Oh, beautiful.
Not the outcome of that. Team Aniston. anyway, before I get myself in any trouble, anything else catch your eye?
As you know, I can't think of anything else at this moment. There's been so much that my brain is full of lots of, like, the Vicky Beckham, Kanye, awards the other day. Like, there's a lot going on in my
it's
brain.
It's all been going on. Have you heard about the James Corden situation?
Oh, yeah, I briefly touched upon that earlier, or the other day. Sorry.
So what's your thoughts on that?
I'm not 100% in like full knowledge about that, so you're going to have to fill me in.
Well, it had been alleged by a restaurant manager that James, let's say, had been the nicest to one of the waiting staff when they brought the wrong order to his wife. So the manager of the restaurant put on Twitter, basically, you're barred, don't come back. Names and shames on Twitter. James contacted the restaurant. I don't think he tweeted them. I think he picked up the phone and called them, or he might have turned up there. Don't know. Just assuming. Apologised. And then the manager retracted and said, like, basically, you're not banned anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So I think James Corden has explained and touched upon it on his Late Late Show over in the States. But it just shows, doesn't it? It's one of them things that social media now, it's so big that a restaurant manager, I don't kind of know why the manager at the time didn't go over and have this conversation before he'd left and why he'd gone to social media. But this is the thing with showbiz, we never know the ins and outs of it. We just didn't talk about it.
Yeah, here to just like watch it all go off. But I think how you treat waiters and waitresses tells you a lot about yourself. You know, shit happens in a restaurant. I've worked in a restaurant and I've worked in a bar. Shit happens. Sometimes, you know, you serve someone the wrong food or you serve someone the wrong drink. Normal people go, you know, you're hungry and you want your food or your drink. But I think moral of the story is you just need to be nice, like, especially if it's busy. I don't know. I'm not saying nothing too much, but I hate it when people do that. I was going to say, it's not great, the manager taking it to social media, but he must have taken social media with, you know, a mega purpose, because we don't know. Did James behave in such a really bad way, or was the manager seeing an opportunity where he could just slam a celebrity?
Never know, and that's why it's kind of always hard when something like this happens. I think it's really hard to almost take sides. Not that anyone's saying take sides, but you know what I mean, because you don't know what's gone on or what the situation was. But I've been intrigued. I haven't actually seen the clip of James referencing it or talking about it since, so I would like to see that. But I mean, I'm the biggest fan of Gavin and Stacey, so I don't know if it's just, you know, when someone that you love or admire their work and stuff, it's just never nice when you read something. Do you know what I mean? I'm a bit like, but it's really hard to know the ins and outs of it. But the fact he's not barred anymore is all good, and it shows that everything's all good in New York.
Yeah, I do like his show, you know, when he has like the celebs going on. He's very funny.
So funny. Yeah, I love a little bit of the James Corden.
Yeah, especially on his show, he's very funny.
I think great chat there. Absolutely loved our little showbiz roundup. I believe our first guest is here. Let's get in the lovely Gemma Luke.
Hello, you're in your bed as well.
Yeah, I'm in bed.
I was just reading my IKEA instructions and seeing what else I can do to ruin this chest of drawers that I'm in the middle of building.
I find it the hardest thing to do. And funny enough, you talk about like furniture and putting it all together, because I heard on the radio today they reckon that DIY is something that's
the number one breakup call.
No, it meant to be really good for reducing anxiety and stress. Now, for me, it's the complete opposite.
I never understand the
leaflets. I never understand the instructions. And within about 12 minutes, I'm so over it.
Me too.
So it definitely don't reduce my anxiety or stress.
Oh, I'm not enjoying this. I'm just thinking, why did I pay £250 for a nightmare? It's huge. Set of drawers. And I did cheat because my best friend works for me and she says she's the queen of flat pack furniture. So I brought her home because we finished work early to help me. And I kind of just sat and watched. And now she's gone home and I'm left with like trying to figure out, whilst I haven't really watched what she's done, how to do it properly. So it's all going to shit.
Oh, bless your heart. So flat pack aside, what have you been up to, Jem?
So I kind of just slipped back into my old life, if I'm honest. I've been quite anxious. So I've been like a little bit like nervous of the attention. I don't know how you handled it with like The Only Way Is Essex and stuff like that, but it's like quite concerning that how your life can change and people really do believe that the edit was the real set of circumstance or like a real reflection of what's gone on. So it's been quite difficult. But just get slip back into work, really.
How do you feel about the edit? I take it you've watched it all back.
I have now, yeah. I've been very upset about it because watching the wedding, like on the wedding day, a lot of people were like, you two are the same person. You know, like the crudeness, the comments, the banter, like it was part of a greater conversation. And to see that his contribution towards that conversation was edited out to paint me in a certain light was really difficult to take. And then for E4 to release a statement to say it's a true reflection of the day, well, that's just not true.
Have you spoke to production since? Because I hear that you recently spoke about there not being any aftercare post-show and stuff like that. So what's
the aftercare has been really good. I haven't had a problem with the aftercare. It's just what I said was like it's frustrating that they're like, let's fuck your life up or mess your life up and then let's give you aftercare, because that's not constructive. You can't just put people through these stressful situations and create characters and versions of people that don't exist and then go, here's counselling and here's welfare. Just don't think that that's helpful at all. And I don't think that that's that was portrayed in any part of like what we were going in for.
And was that predominantly the wedding day that you feel was edited like that, or every episode post that?
No,
there was a narrative throughout to portray you in a certain way?
I think there was in the beginning. I think my only upset with the edit moving forward was that Matt was very protected by Channel 4. There's been a lot hidden, like a lot. And although people are watching it and they're going, oh my God, like actually maybe it's going a different way. Actually, if you had seen the extent, and that could have been, there was a lot of things that were important to me that were shown that were cut out at important times. Like things that he said and things that he did that really showed what I was going through, and they were edited out. And it was almost like everything was on me, even though I'm watching that, reliving it and thinking, well, why am I getting this shit when he should be sort of, people should be saying, why did you say that, when it was just edited out.
So has the whole experience kind of left you regretting it now?
I would say I definitely regret it, but I think it's difficult that I didn't see it like a TV show, and I think that was my problem. I really didn't see it. I was such a fangirl of the whole experiment, and I really believed it existed. And to me, it just doesn't exist. And I know that some of the couples were genuine matches and they went in and they had an easy time, but Matt and I were told different things from the beginning. You know, he was brought in 3 weeks before and I was brought in 6 months. So to be told, for me, you're going to meet the love of your life, and for him to be told you're coming for a TV show, we're set up to fail from the beginning. And it's like, We were just told different narratives of what actually happened.
Gosh. And how did that come back? Had you spoke to him then? Did he turn around and say, I was told this is solely just a TV show? Had you had them conversations privately?
Yeah, we did. And he also said that on the couch. Like when we left, he was like, when he'd stayed with Whitney, he was like, how the hell am I supposed to know how this process works when you guys called me 3 weeks ago and said you're coming on a TV show? And the producers did say, like, one of the producers that I'm still friends with said to me that Matt actually said he had no intentions of ever getting married outside this experiment, and marriage was really important to me. So it was, to hear that from a producer, like, since, because she was like trying to defend him a little bit, I thought, well, actually that's kind of like showing the true colors of the whole situation.
Yeah, so I guess that's kind of difficult. And if you've applied for the experiment actually wanting to get married and to make it work and have a relationship, marriage, and then to hear that the person you're married to was never on the same page.
Yeah, it's difficult, because I went in with this like journal, and I like tried to compare it to like my grandparents, and I was so committed. And if anything, probably a little bit too committed. And I think I just set myself up for hurt And it never even crossed my mind that I would possibly be meeting someone for TV and for entertainment. It really, I kind of just believed the edit that I've seen of reality TV. I've always believed it. And I think there's a lot of people out there that still do, which is, I just want to take things further. And I want to I don't feel like going any further with Channel 4 will get me anywhere, but I do think there's things that I could do in the House of Parliament, like a change.org. Like with Towie and Made in Chelsea, like saying like some scenes are created for drama. Like, why didn't they say some scenes are edited for drama? Because they are. Like, things are edited out to create these dramatic scenes and dramatic storylines. And I just think if that was said, then it would help with like trolling and protect a lot more people that go on to shows like this and protect the viewers and know that that's not entirely exactly as it happened.
Do you think there's other couples that was on your series that had gone into it just seeing it as a TV show?
Or
everyone doesn't. I'm intrigued because I think as years go on, I'm intrigued how many people generally want to meet the one and get married and who wants the TV opportunity.
See, yeah, I just, because I'm on my own with my children and they're always like, because they're with me full time and they see daddy only does manages to do like 4 days a month. I just thought, well, if I do this, I get to commit 100% of my time to somebody that they've matched me to, like for amazing reasons. And I just thought I could take my kids out of the equation and do it all properly. So it never crossed my mind. And like, it upset me a few times when a few people mentioned like, well, most everyone's here for TV. I was like, no, they're not. Cause I'm not. So it's like, a lot of people would have done it for exposure, and that's like fair if that's what you've gone for. But then there's what if your match isn't? That's something you've got to ask yourself. Like morally, are you hurting somebody who's committed themselves and letting it unfold on national television for people to judge? Like the press are brutal as well. Like I've been torn apart on the press, and that's because certain words have been cut out, or certain things when I've defended myself that's been cut out. So that's been that narrative has been allowed to be portrayed, which, you know, there people are saying, why didn't you stick up for yourself? Well, you are. So it's just like, I never comprehended that I could be made into this character for TV. So just shows that if your eyes aren't open, it can really backfire.
Jim, I wanted to ask you, so I can kind of, because you know what it's like when you read things, you want to speak to someone direct. So whilst I've got you, and it can't be read differently, you've recently spoke about having a passionate night with former Married at First Sight.
I did. Passionate weekend, Bobby.
Tell me more. Spill the tea, Jim.
So, so I messaged Bob when I got out of the experiment and said, you know, like, I've just got out of series two. The same thing's happened to me as happened to you. We're not supposed to message each other. We're under NDAs. So I don't give a flying monkeys about all that. But I just messaged him and I said, so I heard from Channel 4 that Bob was supposed to be my match. So, I've not said that before either to anyone, but, I got told by Welfare that we actually put Bob forward as your match, and Channel 4 overruled it and said it was lazy casting. Bob was going to be, and I just thought, couldn't this have worked out really well if Bob had been my match? So I messaged him and we got talking and I was like, you know, you would have been my perfect match. And he was like, well, let's go on a date. So yeah, we spent like a weekend, like he lives a few hours away. So I traveled and ended up, we like stayed together for the whole weekend and it was a really nice time, but I just kind of felt like he wanted to party a bit and I'm not. So we've ended up staying friends, but he kind of wants to party and like go out and do stuff like that. And I don't, I just want to like be with my kids and the dogs.
So what did you get up to on your weekend? Did you you stayed at his?
Yeah, my favourite hobby.
Passionate weekend.
Yeah, my favourite hobby is eating and shagging.
Oh, and was it a good shag?
It was good. Yeah, it was great.
that's why it became a weekend and not one night. Then was it?
Exactly. That would have been a early return ticket if it had been shit, wouldn't it?
But you've just both left it now. You both had a lovely weekend of shagging, but now it's what, just friends?
Yeah, we've spoken a few times since, but I think it really hasn't changed the reason why I said it wasn't going to work, which was that he still wants to like party and I understand why, because he's younger than me and you know, he hasn't got children, but I've got the boys and I've got the dogs and I've got the business and I'm very much a home bird. And I'm always with my friends and my family, and I just need to be here, and I just need someone to kind of fit in. And it's a lot to ask from somebody else to fit in with your life.
Mm. How old was he?
I think he was 27 and I was 31. I'm still 31. But yeah, I think he's 27.
Yes,
and we know it's like dog years and cat years, like men and women are like
totally polar opposites, aren't they?
Totally different.
It doesn't matter the age, like they've still got loads of catching up to do.
Yeah, and then you go, like, I just think there's just no nice age of a man. They're just mostly arseholes. There isn't like a magic number.
No, and you know what? I don't know if you, like, since leaving the show, do you struggle to date?
Do you know what? It's been the kiss of death. When you're in the public eye, like when you've been in the papers, like all the nice guys that used to message me, and I was like, my dick requests in my messages were unreal. And now it's like all the mingers. And I'm like,
Yeah, honestly, I find dating guys really hard on the best day.
So hard. And I just feel like you're attracting people that either want like Instagram followers.
Yeah.
Or they're just like, they're kind of like in infatuation with a version of you that doesn't exist that they've seen in the press. Mm-hmm. And like, I get guys message me and they're like, you filthy bitch and all this sort of stuff. Like, I would have given it to you. And I'm like, because you've seen an edit that Channel 4 have created, like you think that there's only one layer to me and you think that I lead with sex. And although that might be true on some level, it's whether we feel comfortable in like giving that version of ourselves.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I think blue tick dick slide into the DMs, Jim.
I went on a date with a footballer who's not a very high league footballer, but do you know what? Do you know what? You wouldn't even know him. You wouldn't. But he was literally so self-obsessed, like boring, bragging about he said to me, do you need to drink to have fun, do you? And I was like, oh my God, just let me drink my crony and eat my roast dinner.
Yeah, next.
With no judgment. But no, not really. Like, I think most of the blue ticks have been like women that have been like, just women that like women. Like, I'm such a girl's girl and I hate that anyone could think anything different. But I think that's one thing I have come out with, is that people knowing you've got a voice that's heard and like a voice that can be important. And I just want to use it to like make people feel good, especially gingers, Summer, because there's so many redheads out there that think, there's so many girls that message me and say, you've inspired me to like go back to my natural colour or like go ginger. Yeah, I'm naturally like probably a little bit more yours.
Yeah, I love it. I'll be messaging you after this. We should go for drinks.
Should go for drinks.
Or can you?
Except all the boys would stay away from us because they'd be terrified.
I think all the nice guys are just scared. Like, but if you can't, you know, take on a fiery redhead, you haven't got the balls to do it. Like, to do the job.
Exactly. I just think people, like, it's just the intentions. Like, you question everyone's intentions now.
Yeah, weirdly, and you're off. Like, I'm so. I've had a toxic relationship, and my checklist for red flags is absolutely everything that I should have gone, oh my God, you know.
Yeah, no.
Never entertain it. So no, if there's a red flag or dodgy.
Exactly. Like, don't sit and make a scarf out of red flags. Like, just wave that red flag and get out of there. But I felt like with the experiment, like, I run away at the first red flag. So I wanted to fix that in myself, but I realised there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with running away. Because one day someone will do something to annoy you and it's not a red flag.
Yeah.
Yeah. So true.
Like, red flags aren't, no.
You recently opened up an OnlyFans account. How's that going? What made you want to do it?
Love it. I'm in the 0.7%.
What does that mean? Fill me in.
Okay, so the whole website being like 100%, I'm in the top 0.7%, which is like people that are in it. And
is that done by followers or earnings or like that?
By earnings.
I'm incredible. You're smashing it then.
Oh my God. I must have done about 15 grand in 25 days.
Wow.
I know.
Serious dough to be made.
Are you two on it?
No.
You idiots. As soon as like the sun, the star, everyone hears about it, you've got free advertisement.
True.
So what kind of, I mean, obviously I've heard of what OnlyFans is and I've got a rough idea, but what kind of stuff are you posting up there? What's your profile?
To be fair, like posting, it's just like underwear and like maybe a bit of boob, but it's like you make your money on like the pay-per-view. So you'll do like custom videos for people and it just depends on what you feel comfortable with. And sometimes you'll get a vibe of somebody that you're talking to and you're not comfortable, you know, like taking it further with them, like sending them stuff. And also like, you've just got to be careful because you don't know who you're talking to. You don't know if anyone's local. Like, you have to be a bit guarded. And I have children, but I have absolutely no issue with the adult entertainment industry or people shouldn't be ashamed of being involved with it. So I was quite happy for it to like be in the papers. And I just thought, I said to my friend, if they don't catch on to me being on OnlyFans, you're going to have to go to the press. And they were straight on it. And it's been the best, like, the best thing that could have happened was OnlyFans coming out of this situation for me. It's nothing I haven't done on Tinder for free for 10 years. So if I can make money from it, then I'm happy to.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, if you're 15 grand richer already, do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
And that's in, what did you say? That's in what, a few weeks?
Yeah, and I didn't even know how to use it before. So, yeah, now at least I know how to use it now.
So you're finding your way with it now?
Yeah, I just think it's, I'd say like after the sort of novelty wears off, it just becomes like another job. Like it's just something that you're just doing to earn money, which I think no one should be ashamed of. And I just think if you're happy to do it and you're happy to take the risk of like, you know, leaks or anything like that, then you should definitely do it. But I just don't think there's anything to be ashamed of with it. I think it's really exciting.
Does it take a lot of your time?
I think it takes as much time as you let it. But I will just check it like a few times a day and then maybe like be on it for like an hour in the evening. So for like that many hours, and it's taken the pressure off of my business, like because times are hard after COVID and times are hard because we're going into a recession, to be able to like have that money and go, it doesn't matter if the salon takes a little bit of a while to build up from all of these factors. Mm-hmm. Like that is just like a gift I couldn't even have imagined being given. And it's all because people want to see pictures of my tits. And it's fantastic.
Good on you. I love it. Absolutely. You're so right, though. I think people shouldn't be ashamed. Do you know what I mean? Because it sounds like people I've spoken to and interviewed before that are on that platform find it quite liberating.
Yeah.
And really enjoy doing it. So yeah. And like you say, cost of living crisis, blimey, the way electricity is going at the minute and food shopping and stuff.
Oh my God, I know. I don't know how you're supposed to afford to drink a bottle of wine every day if you don't.
So, I've got to ask you, babe, is this true? Because I've read about it, but I wanted to ask you just to confirm. Yeah. Is it true that you've confirmed that you're not going to be taking part in the Christmas reunion special?
So I was cast. There wasn't very many people cast. Matt wasn't actually asked, I was. But I was cast and I cancelled on them about a month ago. When I saw the first edits coming out, I told Channel 4 I will not work with them. An agent that I was going to work with, she said, like, you know, make up with them, I can get you celebs go dating. And I was like, I don't want to do reality TV. It eats you alive. I'm not built for it. People think I'm built for it, but I'm not. And I didn't sign up for that. So I cancelled on them. And it's already been filmed anyway, so that's already been and gone. And from what I hear, it was just as toxic as Married at First Sight, so I'm glad that I didn't.
And how did they take it when you pulled out and you said you didn't want to work with them?
To be honest, they didn't really say a lot. Bob kept saying to me, because he was going to be, if I went, he was going to be cast, but because I wasn't, he wasn't asked. But he kept saying to me, like, make up with Channel 4, like, let's go and do it, like, it'll be fun. And I was like, absolutely not. But to be honest, there was such a greater conversation going on of like the whole edit and me saying, you know, there were like things that were said when I was in there and I wasn't taken seriously. So that was like a part of a bigger conversation. So I felt like we kind of brushed over the Christmas special. But yeah, I was cast onto it and it's just not for me. Like reality TV is, I don't know how you've done as much as you've done and come out and been so strong, because it's fucking horrible.
10 years was a long time of doing it.
How have you come out and like, just, you're still a person, like you're still doing amazing. I just think even one TV show, it just breaks you. Like it really does, especially if that's not why you go.
I'm glad you're feeling better in yourself though. Do you know what I mean? And you found your joy you're enjoying business, you're enjoying your OnlyFans and stuff, you seem in a good place. Yeah, I love- Thank you so much for joining us, Gemma.
Thank you for having me.
Kind of clear everything up and kind of get to speak to you personally about it.
No, it's been really nice, and I can go back to building my drawers now.
Oh, best of luck with that, babes. I wish you luck.
Thank you so much, Bobby.
Bye.
Bye, Gemma.
Thank you. Bye, Summer. See you later.
Bye, darling. Bye, bless her. Oh, I do not feel like I would want to be doing that chest of drawers right now at all.
No, but if you
I
can
don't
do
envy her one bit. I hate flat pack furniture.
Oh no, I hate it. She definitely needs a glass of wine.
The bless only her up. Ready for another guest, Summer?
Yes, bring them on.
Let's do it. Let's get the lovely Joella in. Thank you so much for joining us.
I'm good, thank you. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. I'm looking forward to it.
You're so welcome, babes.
And you're
what
so
have you been up to? So beautiful.
Don't make me blush. We just started.
Hun, what have you been up to? Busy, busy bee.
Oh my gosh. Do you know what? When people ask me that, sometimes I just get mind blank because it's like, it's so much. At the moment, it's just really difficult to keep up. But like the things that's like my ultimate favorite right now, I'm doing my throwback party show on BBC One Extra and BBC Sounds. And that's like old school hip hop and R&B. And that's just my vibe. So
you cannot beat a bit of old school R&B. I used to be a garage boy as well. R&B and garage.
Oh, I love that.
And you can't beat that music.
No, do you know what it is? Because I was raised in New York as well, I really miss like the garage era in England. So I had like my older brothers and sisters to really like put me on. Like they put me on to like the early grime music, definitely garage music, definitely like So Solid vibes. They put me on to TN trainers. Like we weren't really wearing those in New York at the time. But yeah, I definitely was able to have a crash course in English culture before I actually came back to England, like as a proper teenager.
If you don't mind me, how old are you?
Is
that rude to ask? Because I'm just intrigued. The only reason I ask before you answer, you don't have to answer. The only reason I ask is because I'm intrigued. Because I wonder if why I kind of love my old school R&B and old school garage. Because I was at that age. That's when I kind of started going out and getting into music. And I was kind of like. Well, I won't say what age. I was obviously legally 18 when I started going out, obviously. But I think it takes me back to that era when you start first going out. Do you know what I mean? So,
do you know part what?
Of the age question is that your era of R&B, is that what you started listening to and going out to?
No, I'm not even going to lie to you. Like, I like songs that I was way too young to be liking. Like I was singing Escape, Little Secret, which is talking about an affair and your girl doesn't have to know. I was singing that at 5 years old, you know? I was rapping all of Eminem's lyrics, all of Jay-Z lyrics, all of Cameron lyrics, and I was like 11. I wasn't going out. I was just chilling with my friends, but I was a gangster, and that's the truth of it, you know? So I have to really acknowledge that about myself.
But ain't that the innocence of being young when you're singing? I mean, even when you think of singing to like a virgin, and I remember running around singing that when I was 5 or 6 years. It's lyrics, they don't have any meaning. You just obviously love the song, don't they? And then as you get older, you're kind of like, oh, blimey.
But then I also think I must have known. I had older brothers and sisters who were significantly older than me. Like my sister from my mum and dad, who's the closest to my age, is 6 years older than me. So, you know, when I was 5, she was 11, knowing stuff. And then my other sister was 13. And then my brothers were like 15 and 17. So they knew things. So I feel like I knew things, but I just liked to pretend that I didn't. Or maybe I was smart enough, them ages, to just pretend that I didn't, pretend I was innocent.
Love that. Smart, smart cookie. But I can't not ask you about Are You The One, which aired this summer. So for those who are listening that might not have watched it, it's on Paramount Plus. Can you explain to people what the premise is, babes?
Yeah, so it's... It's like a dating show and a game show all in one. You've got 20 beautiful singles, 10 boys, 10 girls, and they're they're there to find their perfect match, basically. There's one perfect match for each person and they have to figure it out. The only thing that kind of helps them is that they do challenges and they get to go on these dates. And then the people who didn't go on the dates, they vote who gets to go in this truth booth. And the truth booth is where you know for a fact if you're a perfect match or not. And then at the end of the show, you've got a match-up ceremony. At the end of each show, you've got a match-up ceremony. They all pick who they think their perfect match is. And then up to 10 beams of light come up to signify each perfect match. So if you've got two beams of light, then there's only two perfect matches, but we don't know who the perfect matches actually are.
It's such a great idea for a show.
There's a lot of strategy involved. And you know what? I was obsessed with the American version of the show when that came out. So to be able to do this version is just, honestly, it was such an honor to be asked to do that and to actually go through the process of like doing the matchup ceremonies and the truth booth and being in the truth booth and around the house was so cool.
Can you spill the tea on any spoilers, hun?
Well, I think the season's finished now on MTV, but you can watch it on Paramount Plus. You can
go behind the scenes secrets that we might not have seen. We're talking TT.
You know what? I can't. There's a couple things I was told, right? So every morning we'd get like a debrief on all the gossip that's been going on. And there's a couple things that I was told that never made it onto the show. And I thought it would make it onto the show. And I don't want to say it because it is pretty juicy. And I feel like it might even like disturb some kind of peace, you know? And I don't want to be the reason to disturb any kind of peace out here. But there was definitely behind the scenes action happening. But I think you got most of the real juice in front of the screen.
And have they told you if it's coming back for another series yet?
I don't know. I know they love it, though.
I'm sure it will. It's got to.
I hope so. Have you guys watched it?
Seen bits of it, but I want to binge it. Do you know what I mean? I've seen bits of it, but it's one of them perfect ones where you want the episode again straight after. I think we watch TV so different now, don't we? Like, one episode ain't enough for me and wait a week. I need to be able to do the lot till 3 a.m.
Yeah, especially with like these sort of shows as well. Like if it's like a dating like or reality kind of show, I kind of just want to know ASAP, really. With other TV shows like drama shows, I kind of want to wait. Like if it's like House of the Dragon, I kind of want to wait for that, to be honest. But yesterday I was watching The Mole on Netflix and I've gone up to like episode 7 out of 10. I probably will finish the rest tonight.
Love that. So you're a binger as well then on certain things.
Yeah, like I choose it. I'm very picky with what I want to binge and what I don't want to binge. Like I really want to binge Married at First Sight. I've never seen it. Well, I have, but just like clips, right? Everyone's going on about it. But the episodes are so long.
Yeah, and there's so many of them that you'd be up for 3 days.
Yeah, like how do people do it? Honestly, I want to try.
I'm one of them, literally, you look at the time, you look at your phone and you think, oh gosh, it's getting late now. I should probably go to bed and you think, right, one more episode. And then it ends, especially if it's kind of dating or a certain reality. And I'm like, oh, do you know what, one more. And then before you know it, it's 3 a.m. You're like, shit, I'm setting an alarm for 7 here.
Exactly.
We're doing an all-nighter on the Netflix.
Exactly. I love it, though.
Do you have any other projects coming up that you can discuss?
That I can discuss? What can I discuss? Well, I'm working on my own project at the moment. I can't tell you too much about it, but I'm really excited about it. It's like music based, but also like delving a bit deeper into people's lives, like people that I really admire and respect. I'm not sure exactly when it's coming out, to be honest, but I'm working on it. And yeah, I've been doing a lot of stuff with DAZN Boxing. So I don't know if you've seen, but Misfits Boxing and DAZN have this series called X Series. The first one was KSI is like heavily involved, you know, it's really the reason. But the first one he was fighting, he had two fights in one night. So that's kind of like opened up a new love of presenting for boxing, whereas I had never done that before that event. And I've done it twice now. So I feel like there'll be more like boxing things on the cards. And of course, you know, I did the Lionesses Live in July for the Women's Euros. So I feel like football as well. You know, you always see me doing a little bit of football here and there.
How did you feel when they won the Euros?
Oh my gosh. Genuinely, it proper felt like I won, like I was part of the team, because it was a month. We didn't know how long we were really going to be there, but we set it up for a month in the team hotel. So this is where the team was actually based when they were in London. And every match, it was like, oh, tomorrow might be the last day. You know, and then it's like week after week after week, they're just winning, they're smashing it. And obviously, I'm getting to know the girls throughout it. And we've got a live show every single day on the England channel. So it was such an experience for me, such an opportunity for growth. And yeah, when they won, I was just overwhelmed, honestly. Like, I genuinely felt like I was part of, I still feel like I'm a part of that team.
Absolutely. I mean, what an amazing achievement. And I think it was so needed, especially with everything that everyone's been through the last couple of years, just the madness of it. We're at such a point, I think, now where something like that, people had to sit up and listen. Do you know what I mean? And how many girls are inspired now to think, I can play football, I can do sports, I can do that.
Yeah.
And quite rightly so. Why has it took till 2022?
Yeah, and it's like, you don't even have to do this thing professionally, by the way. No. Like, you can actually, just the same way the boys are doing up football and PE, like, we can do that too. You don't have to, but know that you can do that. And if you don't want that sport, maybe, like, another sport, you know, it will interest you. I think it's important, like, mentally, physically as well. Like, if you're a person that like goes to the gym or does sports on a regular basis, you know that feeling, you know, the rush you get from that and how uplifted and positive you feel after a session. So I feel like it's a form of therapy, genuinely, for me anyway, when I do get up and go to the gym or do something. Like that, I feel great. I feel like such a good person.
I'm intrigued to see how many schools sit up and listen to that now. Because, I mean, throwing back to when I was at school, boys, we had to do football or rugby, and girls was hockey or netball. Now, I think do whatever sport you want to do. Why is there only two each? And why can they not be? Why do you have to fall into not being able to do the one you want to do?
Yeah, it's weird.
That makes no sense.
Yeah, it's really weird. And it's like playing into these gender stereotypes that we're trying so hard to get away from. But yeah, I'm looking forward to the progression. Like, I hosted an event for Puma and Nikita Paris not too long ago, some weeks ago. She was, you know, she's a Scouser, she was raised in Liverpool, and she used to go to this community centre, which is like so small and humble, but the heart, the love that fills up those walls is so beautiful. So to be able to go and host the opening of a pitch that she, you know, made happen with Puma, a football pitch, I feel like that's like definitely a step in the right direction, especially considering that's a woman player who's done that as well. But yeah, I just hope it keeps going and, you know, more people feel inspired.
Absolutely. And babe, you're smashing it and you keep going, girl, because we love you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us. It was so nice to have you on and to have a chat.
Oh, I've loved it, honestly. Thank you so much for having me.
You're so welcome, babe, anytime. Take care, my love.
Take care, guys. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Bless her. She's so lovely.
She was so lovely and so beautiful.
So beautiful.
So beautiful. She's a woman with many talents. Fact.
Absolutely. What a lovely show.
Yeah, I love that. Lots of gossip, lots of controversial things, and lots of lovely guests. Or two lovely guests, but you know.
And that's what we're all about. That's what we love. A little bit of a goss, little bit of tea spilling. I'm intrigued to know what went on behind the scenes that she couldn't mention.
Hey, I'll be DMing her after, excuse me.
And let me know what she says.
I'll be DMing you.
Oh, well, lovely show. Thanks again for joining me while Stephen's been away, Summer.
Oh, my pleasure. I always love co-hosting with you guys, so thanks for having me on.
You're so welcome, my love. Thanks for listening, guys, and we'll be back next week. Take care.